What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. We are back. I am back, and I'm back with a vengeance. I am here with a great interview today. Great show, man. I'm so excited to have this woman on the program. The beautiful, the talented, the incomparable Lola Monroe joins me on the show today. We're going to talk about that new record she's got dropping tomorrow, blah, blah. Oh, man, on all streaming platforms, we got to get it, man. It's going to be good. It's going to be real good. Some people say it's going to be perfect. But I'm excited, man, because we talk about this on the interview, but 7 years ago is the first time I saw Lola Monroe. About 7.5 years ago was the first time I saw her on stage performing at South by Southwest at the Vibe House. And I'm talking about she was on the same show as Nipsey, Wiz, Travis Porter, Snoop, Timberland. She was on the same stage, same show as all these people, man. And I remember she walked out and I didn't know who she was. My girlfriend was with me and she was like, man, who is that? And I was like, I don't know. And then she came up to the stage and she started doing this Stay Scheming freestyle. And already, man, I was like, wow, she's got a really dope flow and delivery. And me being a hip hop nerd, being a hip hop head, I always look for lyrics first. And if somebody can make me go, damn, that's pretty dope. That's how that's who I look for to support in artist and support in music. And she was definitely one. And that was really a night that I will never forget. That concert was 8 hours. It was 8 hours long. And she came out there and I mean, the show went from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m., but she came out there probably like around 11, something like that. And she was so dope. And I've followed her career ever since. And I think it was almost like a year ago we were going to get her on the show. Something happened, and now we got her on today to talk about this new record, talk about motherhood. She got to drop her fave five on you, top five dead or alive she drops on you, and so much more. And I've always been interested because, like I said, the first time I saw her as a rapper. I saw her as an MC. And then when I became a fan, I started looking back at, you know, who is Lola Monroe? You know, where's she come from? I know she's from the DMV area. She's from Washington, D.C. But, you know, what was her career prior to being a member of the Taylor gang? You know, being around Wiz and Juicy and all those guys. And I didn't know that she was a video model. I didn't know that she, you know, did print modeling and all these things. And I really wanted to talk to her about that because we hear about, you know, Kanye was a producer before he became a rapper, or, you know, Cardi, she was a dancer, a reality show girl before she became a rapper. Now she's on top of the world. Ye was on top of the world. I feel like overcoming a preconceived notion about you, so difficult, especially when, you know, I mean, I still dropping records for 2011 and people see me as a media guy. They see me as the host. They see me as Brad Gilmore, the guy with Booker T. And to try to drop that facade, drop that image of you or shed that image of you and say, no, man, I really do this and I'm really good at it. I always think that it's dope for people who can do that. And Lola's been one of those girls, one of those people, one of those individuals who had the hustle, the heart, the spirit, and had the lyrics. I mean, if you see some of this girl's, you know, records, man, I mean, I think it was the LA Leakers freestyle. Brother, let me tell you, the wordplay on that is crazy. It's insane. And I always see it pop up on my timeline. Look, check this out. Bitch, to make a nigga dick soft. I just want to check like a strip search. Bitch, perch with the big purse. Huh. I'm a bit versed. If we talking this first, I'm about this work. I'm a royal flush. You should get hard. Keep shit in store for these bitches like PetSmart. Yeah. You know, roof low on a Bluetooth dough. Coop out, pop a new hue blow. To show a couple of you hoes, new goals. But I'm saying, don't ever cross me like a Chevy logo. I got niggas pulling up your background like Carfax. Challenge Chevy. Logo. Be dodging semi solo all the miles on a pussy nasty shell it on Carp Max. Pull up in a rose gold Royce with the poodle while your style played out like a pair of parasucos. Got more pull than a facelift and a big face rolling for basics. Beef on a menu on an everyday basis. So I keep some bitches who carry trays like a waitress. Lying on your mans just to get the coochie ill. You the rookie type, never got nookie type. Can't eat the cookie right. Wonder what the would be like. Said a bitch never. Bet I switch weathers. Why you bitch weather? Which sweater cheaper? Which nigga sweeter? Which trick I need you can't figure neither. You the type of bitch to make a nigga. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. She came through with that. So when I heard those lyrics, I knew, hey, this is somebody. This is somebody we need to keep our eye on. This is somebody I need to support. This is somebody I need to show love to. and Lola Monroe. She's going to join us on the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. She's going to do it right now. And she joins me on the line right now. The incomparable Lola Monroe. Lola, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to talk to you for all kinds of different reasons, but you have a new record coming out tomorrow as we're taping this. It's called Blah Blah, the new record. We're going to talk about it here in a second, but there's so much to do. I mean, this is Lola Monroe, last of a dying breed. She's on the Brad Gilmore Show right now. How's the layoff been? I know you've been in the lab working on a lot of stuff. How's it been just kind of trying to get the right music together to present to the people?
Honestly, it's been a great process. I'll tell you this. It had more to do with self than it had to do with music. I went through a process with myself and just going on a spiritual journey and figuring out, you know, my purpose and what I represent and, you know, who I am as an individual so that when it comes to my music, I can represent myself in the most authentic way possible. And so it was great. I went through that whole thing and then I got back in the lab and I was able to enjoy my process of just creating, and now I can deliver the music I created.
And what exactly, I mean, you went on this spiritual journey. What was like the biggest lesson that you learned about yourself that made you say, okay, now that I figured this out, I can go back in and lock in and get this done?
Quiet the noise. Quiet the noise, and you will be able to hear yourself more and get the answers that you're looking for from within versus out in the rest of the world.
Okay, I feel that. Now, you've had a really interesting career. I mean, you didn't start off as an MC, but was that always the passion? Was that always the end goal? Because when you came in, you were doing a lot of videos, doing a lot of modeling. Was the end goal to always be an MC, or was this a passion that you found later?
It's always been a passion for me. It's always been an outlet for me. It was never a career thing for me, though, in the beginning. It was just a way for me to express myself and release the emotions that, you know, I was going through as a child, from, you know, traumas to young love. I would use music as an escape, just writing music and releasing in that kind of way. But being an artist and getting in the entertainment world wasn't a realistic thing for me, coming from where I come from, because we didn't have those examples set before us in DC. And so it wasn't until I got into the music industry, into the industry as a whole through modeling, that it became realistic for me. And it was like, okay, I can actually pursue my passion. I can actually do this. So music has always been a part of my journey and my process, but it wasn't until later on that it became realistic for me to pursue it as a career.
Now, I know you come from Washington, D.C. That's where you grew up. Were you born and raised there?
No, I was born in Africa. I was born in Ethiopia, and I came here when I was almost 1 year old, and I grew up in D.C.
Okay, yeah, man, I know, man. You know, Eritrea, Ethiopia, man, there's some women. I dated one, man. There's some women out there. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, you grow up in D.C. D.C., though, I mean, when you think about it, everyone thinks about, you know, the White House and the president. That's where the president lives. But, I mean, it's kind of it's a rough area, right?
It's rough. It's rough, like, 1 mile down from the White House. You know what I mean? It gets that close. So it's not really publicized. You know, they try to paint D.C. as this version as, like, you know, it's just political, the White House, the president, when there's like a whole other side that's like right down the street. It's definitely two different sides to it.
How does that shape you, though, like as a human being? And also, you know, you're growing up in D.C., you see this almost whole different world, this political world, like wealth, power, influence. Did you ever look at some of those structures and some of the people who are, you know, in Washington, D.C., the politicians, and say, man, I mean, look at what they have. And then, like you said, a mile down the road, this is where we're at. Was that almost some sort of like weird motivation to want that, you know, money, power, respect, influence?
Honestly, no, it wasn't. I couldn't relate to that aspect of things. It gets so deep when you get onto the other side of things. And I was on my own since I've 15 years old. That's when I became on my own. And so I had a lot of other things consuming me, whereas I didn't really tap into that. I really didn't see the political side or see the White House and was able to even be motivated by that. My motivation came from just wanting to make it out of the struggle, you know, just focusing on that in survival mode. That wasn't realistic to me. Like, the political side of things did not seem, it was so much of a difference from where I grew up that that wasn't something I could relate to or I could be inspired by. You know what I mean? It wasn't until later on, as I got older, I started to tap into those things. But I don't know. I still don't tap in too much into politics that much. You know?
No, I feel you. I just, you know, I'm wondering, just seeing all of that, like, man, like, it's right there. You know, the power, influence is right there. So when was the decision then? So you say you're on your own when you're 15. When was the decision? Yeah. When did you say, man, I'm going to go into the entertainment world? I mean, when did you think I'm going to be a model and start that kind of career path?
When I was 19, I met a photographer and he was like, you're dope. Let's do a shoot. And so he did my first images. He submitted it to, he had like different connects in New York and he submitted it to different publications. And I landed features in different publications and, it just went from there. And then I caught the eye of 50 Cent and, he wanted to support me and help in pushing me. And so it went from there. But like I said, it wasn't a realistic thing for me. It wasn't anything like, I want to be a model or I want to be an artist. That wasn't the thing in my mind. The thing in my mind was, okay, how am I going to make money? How am I going to survive? Everything was on me at a younger age. And so I'm a hustler, you know what I mean? So once I can see an avenue where, okay, there is another way for me to make money and I can see a career in this, I'm going to go after that. And so I went after that.
I like it. Talk about it. She's a hustler. But here's the thing. So this is what's weird to have you on the show right now, because I followed your career for several years and I was watching a couple other interviews that you had done, like, you know, in preparation for this, and everybody brings up this South by Southwest. Everyone's like, man, the first time I saw you was at South by Southwest, you know, you're performing there. You were there with the Wiz Khalifa. You were there with the Taylor Gang. And what's really funny about it is I was at that show too. I was at that Vibe House show, 2012, South by Southwest. It was the first time I'd ever, you know, saw you, heard of you. And what's funny is, if you go back, there's footage on YouTube of it. I'm front row. I'm standing right in front of you as you're doing your thing out there. And I remember you did the Stay Scheming freestyle that you had done at the time. I remember they cut the beat off on you. You looked like, wait, hold on, man. You can't cut my beat. That's my vibe right there. But I just remember seeing that for you for the first time. And that's when you were working with Wiz and the Taylor Gang. How was that experience, one of South by Southwest, but also working around all those minds, like the Juicy J's of the world, and just soaking up that knowledge?
Oh, it was amazing. It's one of my great experiences as an artist, working around them and being able to take in just the advice and the experience, and not just directly the advice that they would give me, but just watching them work, you know, as vets and as successful artists and businessmen. It was really a great experience for me. I took in a lot, for sure.
No, I mean, absolutely. I don't know how you can't be around Juicy J and not get motivated. That guy seems like he's 100% energy.
Oh, 100% energy. He's a really, really good guy. And so is Wiz. Like, they were all good people. You know what I mean? Aside from just being artists and being successful, they had qualities of just being good human beings, you know? And so that's another thing. And so it was easy to be around them. It was easy to take in just the information that they would give. And one thing about Juicy, one thing he would push out of me is just making sure that I would still tap back into where I'm from. And he would tell me, like, you know, you gotta stick with that. You gotta push, you know, where you from and the flavor that you bring. With being from DC, you know, nobody sounds like that. And, you know, just, it's just different when you push that out. So even when we were on tour and I was 6 months pregnant, we recorded a record on the tour bus and we shot the video while we was on tour. And so it was just always great working with them.
I mean, I can imagine, but also to tap into where you're from. And then I wanted to ask, so when you were modeling, I remember you're in a couple videos, you're in the Kanye Good Life video, you tapped in with 50 Cent. When did you start the writing? When did you start saying, okay, look, let me see, I'm around these guys, I'm around the elite. I mean, Kanye West, mm-hmm. 50 Cent, especially at that time, that's the graduation Curtis era. That's like top of the mm-hmm. game. They were at the top of the game. You're around these guys. When did you say, okay, you know what? Let me start putting pen to the sheets and let me see if I got an ability for this.
Well, first of all, I knew I had the ability.
Right.
I knew I could do it. For me, it was just all about strategic timing and strategic planning. Because when I first got into the industry as far as modeling, I would state it in my interviews. I would say, you know, I'm going to do my music. I just have to time it. I think it's important to focus on one thing at a time and not try to do a bunch of shit. And so it was important for me to just push the modeling thing, get the features. I became the it girl. And when I was at my highest peak, I said, okay, all eyes on me. Now it's time. Now it's time for me to switch while I have this attention on me. And I would get on these music video sets and I'm like, man, I'm tired of featuring for these guys. I want to be shooting my own music videos. You know what I mean? I want to be able to be my own artist. And so I want to be the video girl for my video, you know? And so I just said, it's a wrap. I'm not doing any more music videos. As I was getting offered thousands and thousands of dollars, I was like, I'm not doing these men's magazines anymore. I'm just going to go for the music. And so I was just turning down these offers and I started putting out my music.
Was it hard,
and
though?
I
hear you, but was it hard not only to turn down the money? Because that's what you're saying. You're saying you're a hustler. I'm going to try to figure a way out. I'm trying to get this money. Not only turning that down, but also, you know, you talk about, you know, being in this video, like I'm talking about Kanye or whomever. Kanye, yeah. I mean, he's a perfect example. This guy was a producer, you know, making beats, and he was trying to tell everybody at the same time, no, man, I can rap, though.
I'm a rapper.
I got it. And it took a while for them to believe him and to accept him as that. Was it hard for you, especially, you weren't even, like, you know, making the beats, like, you were in the videos, you were meant to be, like, the model, like you said. Was it hard to overcome that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They was not trying to hear that shit. They were not trying to hear it at all. And so I get fueled by that. I get fueled by you telling me I can't do something or I don't belong in something that you're not even a part of. You know what I mean? It was really critics and people that weren't even in hip hop that would make these statements and say, you know, no, you can't rap and you can't, you are a model. And it's not like now you can come from a modeling background and rap. Everybody does it, you know, but back then that was not accepted, you know. But what I had to do was, okay, I have to, like I said, I do strategic planning. Everything I do for a reason. And so I had to changed the way I dressed a little bit and the way I shot my images. And like I said, I could not keep on taking those modeling gigs while trying to pursue music, because to me, it wasn't just about putting out music. It was about getting respected as a lyricist and a hip hop artist, not just a rapper, because lyrics matter to me, you know, and I put in a lot of work to study the craft and really get good at my pen. And I wasn't really that fucking awesome in the beginning, you know what I mean? But I was sure that I would have it, you know, and I would figure it out. And so I pushed, and I put out music, and I got better, and they recognized it, and they were like, you know, no, she's serious, and she is good, and she's getting better and better. And when I got my BET nomination against Nicki Minaj, which was like, she was like the hottest at the time, that's when I was like, I got it. I got my respect. I did it. I broke down that wall, you know?
Yeah, but you had to work at it, and you had to prove it with the lyrics. I mean, here's the thing.
I had to prove it.
A lot of people, you know, I mean, they sometimes there's a preconceived notion about a female hip-hop artist and, you know, the content that she covers and how she presents herself, all those things. I mean, mm-hmm. you go back to Lil' Kim, and even though everybody mm-hmm. could bring it, there's still that perception about, oh, she's only talking about this. But that was the thing about you that was so dope, is you weren't talking about all that. I mean, you know, there'd be little sprinkles of it in there, but you weren't talking about all that. You were, I feel like you were focused on, let me show this wordplay that I have, because some of your rhyme patterns and rhyme schemes are so intricate, and you go on for bars at a time with the same rhyme. I mean, how did you develop that style?
I studied Los. I studied him.
Right.
And he's a good person to study. Yeah, great person to study. Lucky me, right? He taught me the science in writing and, you know, the bridges and the metaphors and how to think of, like, think of the best way I can say certain things and, like, patterns and flows and, you know, and so I was able to have someone that can basically mentor me and I can learn from. And it was very exciting for me because it's my passion and I was able to get better at it, you know, on my own, like as far as like just working and working and working. And I was able to instantly just put out the music and show how my pen is getting better, you know. And as far as like the topics that I would talk about, I would choose the things that were around me. And, you know, my music is based on real life. My music is motivated by real life. And so that's what I chose to put in my music.
And it's always great to have somebody, though, to be working with, especially someone like Lowe, someone who you're real close to, you're seeing on a daily basis, but who's also at that time, especially when you're starting out, that much better than you. It must push you to be like, man, I got to get to that level.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's been a couple times where you are in the lab or something, he lays a verse down, and then you got yours, and you're like, you know what, this is the one now. I got him. I caught up to him. Have you had that moment?
Yeah, but it wasn't me that said it. It was the fans. Because I would always feel like, okay, it would be extra, like, an extra, I don't want to say pressure, because I feel like that puts a negative connotation on it, but it would be like this really motive, like so much like battery in my back. It would be a battery in my back to really go for it, because if I'm about to be on the track with him, I got to step my game up crazy, you know? And so it would be that motivation.
No, yeah, I feel that. And to come with the lyrics, to come with the new music, and I want to talk about that in just a second. You got a new record dropping tomorrow, blah, blah. We're going to talk about that and the motivation behind the song and why it was the right choice. But when you talk about, you know, working around these people, working around Los, who is Lola Monroe? Who's your top five? I got to know, who's your top five?
Oh, wow.
It's a hard question. Everybody asks it, but I got to know, what's your top five? Because just the way that you rhyme, I know that you got a respect for lyrics. So that's what I want to hear where you come from.
Okay. My top five, number one is definitely Los. Jay, Biggie, Pac, Lauryn Hill.
That's not bad. That's a pretty solid top five. Jay the greatest ever? Like just overall. Do we have to have him in like the Jordan conversation?
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Why is that? What makes him the best?
For me, he has been one of my biggest inspirations coming up, because he is a representation to me how you can actually make nothing into something and become so influential and change people's lives just by being you. And that's what he did. He took his life and he really created some shit with all the odds against him, and what he has created survived decades, you know, and he's still that top guy. You know, the moves that he makes as a businessman, as an artist, it's just like he hit so many aspects and he created millionaires. He changed people's lives, you know, and I feel like, I don't know, it's just he has so many layers to him, and he's inspired me since like just before I even put out music, just as a guy that came from the hood and really made it through to this day.
Well, I mean, and you were talking about, you know, you needed that. You're a hustler, And there's nobody mm-hmm. better. I mean, I have a picture right now. I'm looking at a picture of Jay in my office because that, I mean, that's, he's my motivator too. I mean, yeah. Jay-Z is my number one for all time, and I just don't think anybody beats him. But let's talk about the new music, though. Blah Blah, it comes out tomorrow, all streaming platforms. Why was this the record? I heard a little snippet of it. It's got a yeah. cool beat to it, but why was this the song that you said, okay, look, I'm coming back out with this. This is the one I need people to hear right now.
I'll say this. It was one of my favorite records that I recorded. I love the beat. And what it's talking about, it's like blah, blah. I don't want to hear it. Like, I'm focused on my grind. I'm focused on my hustle right now. And unless you got something to say, like something that's substantial, that holds some weight, all I hear is blah, blah, because I'm focused right now.
And I'm sure social media has got to be a killer for you sometimes. Right. I mean, the people on social, I know I get it. Everybody gets it. Is that kind of what it's about, too? Trying just to block out all the naysayers, a lot of the negativity on there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll say this. I've gotten a lot more positive comments and love from social media, especially coming back out. The support is really there, and I'm very appreciative of it. I feel like, of course, when I get to my next level, this is going to be, you know, next level of haters. But right now, as far as social media, I get a lot of positivity and push and them saying, you know, we've been waiting. Come on, let's go. It's your time. And there's a lot of support that I'm getting from social media.
How as a mother, though, being a mother, how has that changed your music? Because obviously it changes you as an individual. It's hard not to. But how does it change mm-hmm. your craft? Has it changed you at all with how you approach the game now?
I would say this. I don't know if it's changed my music and the records that I make. Maybe because I got a little boy. And so, so it's like, you know, it's different when you got a little boy. But I would say this. It has changed my approach to life in general. So that trickles down into my business and music. I'm more patient. I move at my own pace, and I don't. The things that used to be important to me are not as important to me right now. I think more in longevity terms versus just instant gratification or just like, you know, what's going to happen today. And, you know, I hope they feel like this. It's more so like I'm very confident. Being a mom made me appreciate the things that mattered the most, and everything else is just a bunch of noise. And so I moved that way, and I feel like that trickles down into my business and my music and, you know, the way I go about things with that.
I could feel that. I know that it maybe not right now, but I feel like at some level it might, maybe the little man one day just gives you some inspiration. You got one of these hit records just from something that he did, something silly that he did. I just always like to know how that changes somebody.
In that way?
Yeah.
Yeah, like my son loves to rap. So if I'm in the room writing, he'll come and he'll hear the beat and he'll be like, "Ma, do you want me to help you?" So it's records that I'm going to have to get him some percentage off of.
Yeah, we got to get his BMI and ASCAP together, man. He's got to get his bread.
Do you know that he wrote a hook for Designer?
No. Well, okay, give me the story there. How did that happen?
So his second cousin created a beat for Designer, and Bricks came up with this hook, and he was like, "Lambo, something Lambo." I forgot how the hook went. And Designer heard it and he took it. And that was the hook that my son created.
God, man. See, he's got it in him. He's got it in him already.
Oh, he's got it in him. He loves music. He loves music.
God, yeah, that's so sure. dope. That's so dope. Well, hey, so you got the new record. Blah Blah comes out tomorrow. Now, you've been working on the album, right? How's the album coming around?
The project, it's not an album.
Project.
It's a project, yeah. And that's completely done. Everything is done.
Oh, it's locked in. Can you tell us, I mean, anybody you worked with, you know, is Los on the album? Anybody else that we might know?
Yeah, he's on the project. I'm not announcing anybody else. It's okay. I'm not announcing other people just yet.
Oh, man, I try to get you slipping.
I know,
you saw me.
I tried
to do my job. I'm just trying.
It's all good.
Well, so when can we expect the project, though?
I would say in a couple months.
couple months. So, hey, we're coming up, but we got to start the buzz with Blah Blah. Once again, it's on all streaming platforms tomorrow, at the underscore Lola Monroe on Twitter. Anything else that you're working on? I know you're doing the reality show. There's always kind of something going on. Anything else you're working on right now that you need the people to know about?
Yeah, well, I have my jewelry and accessory line, and it's called Persuasion, P-U-R-R, Persuasion. So I'm pushing that, and I'm working on my business. I have my company. It's called Blue Rose Dynasty, and that's, I find myself under that. And so I have my entertainment company, and I'm just working on business and investments. That's where my mind is on right now, you know, just thinking long term and just making smart decisions.
You got to stay hungry. You got to stay hungry. Well, Lola, thank you so much for joining me on the show. It's a pleasure. Like I said, I've been following your career now for 7 years since I saw you at that show. And I'm always going to have your back. I'm always going to be supporting. And I need everybody else to support.
Keep supporting me. I do. And I appreciate that. I always appreciate the love and support. It definitely holds weight.
All right. Well, that is Lola Monroe here on the show, The Brad Gilmore Show. We'll be right back.
Thanks.